Headline, a man runs to a chariot and talks about the greatest person in the world. Let's talk more about it on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome once again to Book, Chapter, and Verse. I'm Jeff Archie. Thank you for joining me today where we just simply spend time looking at the wonderful words of life, the Bible in Book, Chapter, and Verse. You're more than welcome to join us each week as we do this and study God's Word together. And at the end of our broadcast, we're going to share with you some information that you may continue your studies of God's Word in your home, and the material will be absolutely free. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about it. Today, our Book, Chapter, and Verse is from Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. Now, while this text is a little lengthy, that's all right. As mentioned as we began, it's about a man who ran to a chariot and talked about the greatest person in the world. So let's look at this together. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither, or immediately, to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, may the Lord always bless us with the reading and the hearing and, yes, the application of His Word. Let's spend a few moments talking about the baptism of the eunuch. And first of all, let's drop back to verse 35 and let's talk about the learning about baptism. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, this was something that Philip knew, and Philip did it well. Earlier in Acts, the 8th chapter, in verse 12, the Bible reminds us how that, But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Philip preached the kingdom of Christ. Philip preached about the kingdom that we note just several years later in Colossians 1 and verse 13, that those Christians were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. They were already in the kingdom. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus, when He said that He would build His church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, then He said unto Peter, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." You have the keys to start the kingdom, if you will. And those individuals were added to the church, to the kingdom. Notice second, Philip knew what he was doing in that chariot, for earlier he had preached the authority of Christ in His name. I've used this illustration before. A group of policemen come to a place, they'll bang on the door and they'll say, "Open up in the name of the law." Authority. We have the name, the authority to carry this through. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 28, 18. "All power," or all authority, "is given unto me in both heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." What was Philip doing? He was carrying forth the command of Christ. He was carrying forth the authority of Christ, to where we're reminded in Colossians 3:17 that whatever we would do in word or in deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that Philip preached baptism into Christ. That's no different from what he did here in Acts 8 and verse 12. It's no different from what Peter and the apostles did in Acts 2 and verse 38, when they commanded them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we note in verse 40 that they that gladly received His word, or verses 40 and 41 of Acts 2, they that gladly received His word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So as we see these things about baptism preached in this context, expresses preaching Jesus and specifically the gospel message. In other words, Philip is preaching the man and the plan and nothing else. It is some good news for this eunuch. I realize there are those that say, "Well, just preach Jesus and not the plan," or "not this." Well, you can't preach Jesus, because His plan was called the gospel. You can't preach Jesus without the gospel. And somebody says, "Well, give me Jesus, but not the church." Well, then we want to separate the head, Christ, from the body, the church. And you can't do that either, because He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18. Isn't it refreshing to just cut through a lot of, shall we say, erroneous, misplaced teaching, and just get back to the simplicity of the Bible? Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you have received," or "which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." My friends, once I know what I should do, then I know. There's nothing to add to that. We just do what is commanded. So here is the truth about baptism. The eunuch saw what he needed to do, and he just simply did it. And a lot of times we say, "Well, I know what I need to do, but I'm just not going to do it." Well, when we know what we need to do, then we need to do that very thing, because nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to get better. Somebody says, "Well, I know what the Bible says and I believe it, but I just don't want to accept it." Oh, that's tragic. If we know what the Bible says, is it not simple just to do it? Oh, what a refreshing thought. Now, let's continue this thought about the baptism of the eunuch and notice something else with me, his necessity. Back to verse 36 and 37, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There was a necessity. He did not delay. He saw the necessity. He did not wait. Back to Acts 2 and verse 41. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice the same day. When I go over one chapter in Acts chapter 9 and I read about Saul, about verse 18, when Ananias came to him, the baptism of Saul was immediate. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when Paul, he was Saul at the time, but it became Paul later, was telling of what happened later in his life in Acts 22:16, he said, Ananias told him, and Saul, why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He did not tarry. He did not wait. My friend, I'm going to be like the eunuch. I'm not going to wait. When I understand what I need to do to become a Christian, I'm not going to wait. Oh, I would not wait. No. Mark 16:16 reminds us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm not going to wait. Someone says, well, we believe and how good it is, but we're going to have our baptisms in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But my friends, when we look at book, chapter, and verse, we cannot find that in the Bible. It's not there to ask people to wait to be immersed when we see that in the Bible, that same day, that very hour. For example, when I go over into Acts, the 16th chapter, and I learn about the baptism of the Philippian jailer, I am reminded that the same hour of the night he was baptized when he learned of the word of the Lord. I would not wait. The eunuch saw his necessity. I trust we all can see that. Let's go a little further back to our book, chapter, and verse of Acts 8, 38 and 39. And let's now consider the action of his baptism. Let's look at the action of his baptism. Let's look at what was done. In Acts 8, 38 and 39, and we'll just read the first part of 39. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So they came up out of the water. That's interesting to see how baptism was presented in the New Testament. Book, chapter, and verse. Go back to John 3 and verse 23 and think about when John was baptizing. Talked about the location. He was baptizing in Anon near to Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. It's been an honor and a blessing of mine to stand at the brink, at the edge rather, of the River Jordan. And I can see there was plenty of room to baptize where John was at. Even when Jesus went to John to be baptized of him, and if you recall from Matthew chapter 3, starting with about verse 13, John did not want to baptize Christ. He felt like that he needed to be baptized of Christ, but Jesus said, well, suffer it to be so, allow this to be so to fulfill all righteousness. But what I want us to notice is more about the baptism, that when Jesus was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He came up out of the water with John. Why would they go down into the water? There's much water there. But listen to Colossians 2 and verse 12. Those Christians in Colossae, those individuals part of the church, and yes, in the kingdom, as we noted moments ago, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism. There's no sprinkling. There's no pouring. Immersion it was, and immersion it is. A person is immersed in baptism. And we know what all happens. Sins are remitted, Acts 2:38. Remitted means they're taken away. Acts 22:16, Paul understood his sins were washed away. The eunuch was a saved individual. According to the commandment of Christ in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He went down in the water and was baptized. Who among us would say the eunuch would not be saved? Well, nobody would. Okay. Then if I'm baptized like the eunuch was, would that make me saved? Pretty simple conclusion, is it not? 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians 3:27, we learn that as many that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's much like with the suit coat that I have here. Of course, you see I'm wearing it, and you have to draw a conclusion that I put it on. And when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. And yes, the eunuch was added to the church. If what they did on the day of Pentecost, their belief and their repentance and their baptism, if that added them to the church, then would not the eunuch have been added to the church as well? There's no question. And when we put all this together, the baptism of the eunuch is a thrilling, exciting study. And I realize we've talked about some matters today that, believe it or not, my friends, the religious world finds great disagreement. Yes, there are those that do practice the sprinkling of an infant and refer to that as baptism that's acceptable unto God. And with all kindness, when we open the Bible, we can't find that. Matter of fact, in Matthew 18:1-6, Jesus taught us that except we be converted to become as little children. I don't know what sin little children would have committed. Someone says, well, what about the sin of their fathers? Well, I can go to Ezekiel 18 and learn that how the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, nor the father bear the iniquity of the son. A soul that is born, an infant, a small child, is not saved. That child is safe. And someone may say, well, let us try just a pouring of water. Could be a pouring over the head. But again, my friend, when we take book, chapter, and verse, we simply can't find it. Please don't take this as being critical. I want us to search the Bible together that we may be correct to what God has given us. That's the only plea. And if the Bible doesn't support it, then would you not agree that we need to think on those things and do it simply to God's way? Someone says, well, I was baptized for remission of sins. I will ask this question and try this sitting down. Try something with me. Take a piece of paper and a pencil, and I'll give you a moment to just reach for a piece of paper and a pencil. I'm going to slow the broadcast down here a little bit and just kind of fill in a little time while you get that piece of paper and pencil. You're not going to miss anything if you're looking for it. Matter of fact, I'll try to help you. Look in the top drawer under your telephone. No, I won't go that far. But find a piece of paper and a pencil and try this with me. I'd like for you to take your piece of paper and your pencil and let's just give this a try and see how this works. Write down the date that you were saved. Just write down the date. You're thinking, oh, I can't recall that. Well, give me as close as you can. Like if it's March 3rd, 1999, just give me a date. Just write down the date when you were saved. Okay? Now, write down the date you were baptized. Then I want you to look at the day you were saved and the day you were baptized, and then in the third place, write down how long it was after you were saved when you were baptized. Got that? Okay. Now keep in mind what we've talked about. When one is baptized, their sins are forgiven then. When one is baptized, their sins are washed away then. That same day they were baptized, Acts 2, the eunuch came to water, did not delay. My friend, if you see a date when you were saved, but you were baptized later, that doesn't agree with what the eunuch did, does it? Someone said you're saved before you're baptized. But as we've noted with our broadcast, one is baptized in order to be saved. You know what I would do? I would stop and I would look at that piece of paper, and I would look at this, if you will, piece of paper, and I'd ask myself, which one is right? And I think you would conclude that it would be this one. Multiple pieces of paper that speak of that beautiful salvation of God. And again, as we noted, if we're baptized like the eunuch was, I know that's right. And now I'm starting to wonder about my baptism. In a few moments, we're going to be sharing with you some material and things that maybe will help you further with your study. And if you've seen something that we can be of help with or guided or something, much like the eunuch and Philip in the chariot, then here on Book, Chapter, and Verse, we'll join you in your chariot, if you will, and we'll talk about these things pertaining to God and to Christ. There's nothing more important than the salvation of your soul. There's nothing more important than we press onward, living a life for Christ. And that's what we wish to do as we look at Book, Chapter, and Verse. So once again, let's think on these things that we have studied today. Let's look at our faith and look at our baptism, and let's consider those matters. And let us look at those things and let us be what Christ would indeed have us to be. Have you been baptized like the eunuch was baptized? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? As they did so that very day, you can do so as well. Don't delay. Continue pursuing your search for truth and nothing but the truth through the study of the Bible as we look at those things, Book, Chapter, and Verse. And let's take a few moments, enjoy this beautiful hymn together, then we'll be back to wrap up and I'll share with you some things to help further with your study.
God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne.
Lamb of Man. He raises up kings and rulers cast down, appointing all boundaries and times. The power he gives to whomever he will, but heals not control from on high. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Our God, the Most High God, doth rule in the kingdom of men. The proud he collapses, the lowly he saves, submission of hearts he demands. The nations who willingly humble themselves will be the dominions that stand. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Our God, the Most High God, doth rule in the kingdom of men. A stone from a mountain cut out with our hands, this kingdom will never be conquered. Against it hell's gate shall never prevail. Its throne will be left to no other. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Our God, the Most High God, doth rule in the kingdom of men. That throne sits on high in the depths of men's hearts. A warfare with weapons to carnal offend. No tyrants are king but our Father. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Our God, the Most High God, doth rule in the kingdom of men.
Acts 8 and verse 39 says, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. You can too, my friend. Won't you obey the gospel this very day?
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.